Welcome to Philadelphia Focus. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today, Kyle Lewis. I always love that. Recycling Program Director for the City of Philadelphia. And Kyle, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. So happy to be here.
Let's start off with the elevator speech. What is the recycling program?
Recycling program in the City of Philadelphia is one that the city is committed to. It's about recycling the materials that we can to divert waste from the waste stream so that we can eventually get to the mayor's goal of a zero waste city by 2035. And so it's about diverting as much as we can from landfill and from incineration via waste to energy in order to make the city and ultimately the state and the country and planet more sustainable.
Mm-hmm. 2018 was a crisis year for the City of Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. What the heck happened?
So 2018 was a crisis for the recycling market internationally. And what happened was that a lot of people wonder, or maybe wonder, where the recycling goes after it leaves the curb. And it goes to a materials recovery facility, what we call a MRF. And it gets resorted out into the commodities that they are. So there'll be bales of aluminum and bales of different types of plastic, PET and PE plastic. And there'll be bales of paper and there'll be bales of cardboard. And all of that used to get shipped and sold to China. And China used to receive it all. And eventually what happened was that after we went from dual stream recycling, when we used to put the metal and the glass in one container and we put the paper and the cardboard in the other, we started single stream recycling. When we did single stream recycling, we got a lot more participation. Our tonnage went up from 40,000 tons a year to about 100,000 tons a year. But what happened with the single stream is that a lot of people started what we call wish cycling. And they started standing over the recycling bin going, is this recyclable? I don't know. I'll put it in and see. And what happened with all of that wish cycling is that there ended up being a lot of contamination in the recycling stream. And so in 2018, China said, you know what? We can't take your contaminated, dirty recycling anymore. And it really sent the world recycling market into a spin when, you know, the number one, you know, when your number one customer and your only customer actually, you know, leaves the market, it was tough for the recycling market. And so there have been a lot of changes. And so what we're trying to do in Philadelphia is clean up the recycling stream. We have to do that. We're encouraging people to take a minute before they bin it. Take a minute to make sure that it's the right materials going into the bin and that they are prepared properly, that any kind of paper and cardboard are dry, that cans and bottles that may have had like chunky food in them are empty, and that, you know, your soda bottle or your water bottle, that those are empty as well. We need things to be clean, dry, and empty when they go into the recycling bin.
Let's back up because this is 30 mm-hmm. minutes. We're mm-hmm. going to talk. We're going to get into this really in depth.
All right.
So this was also a financial blow to us, was it not?
It was a significant financial blow. When the world market in recycling changed, it had been that up until 2016, the city was receiving an average of $4 to $5 million a year for recycling. In other words, our recycling was being purchased and we were receiving that money. And then when the recycling market shifted and the levels of contamination just got, you know, too high, that market turned around and the products, the commodities, didn't have the same values as they had. And so now we're paying about $9 to $10 million a year for recycling. And so there's been a significant shift. But what that $9 to $10 million a year that we're paying says is that the city is indeed committed to recycling and committed to environmental sustainability and really taking care of our planet in a healthy way. And so, you know, it has been a major change in recycling, which is why we're really trying to encourage people to really clean up the recycling stream, stop what we call wish cycling, aspirational recycling. Cut all of that out, only put the materials in the bin that belong in the bin, and keep all of those other contaminants out.
Now, you've been in the job about, what, 6 months now? A year?
Seven. Yep.
Seven. So you've been with the city forever, so you know the ins and outs. So the history of this office, talk a little bit about how did we get into recycling to begin with in Philadelphia, and what do we look like compared to other cities?
So Philadelphia was one of the first cities to really begin a robust recycling program. In the mid-90s, it came on board. It started out as part of the managing director's office, and then it shifted over to the streets department. And You know, it's had varying levels of staffing, but it has always been an office that has remained with the City of Philadelphia because, again, the city is committed to recycling. And so it's been around for a number of years. There have been efforts in the past to make sure that people know what was to be recycled. You know, I think the first campaigns were about getting people just accustomed to recycling, right? And then it was the campaign is shifted to going from dual stream to single stream. And then, you know, it did shift to knowing the ins and outs of recycling and the right things to recycle. Those campaigns, it really focused on what to put in the bin. What we're focusing on now, because of the levels of contamination that we've encountered, are the materials to keep out of the bin. Our number one problem in recycling, and this is nationwide, every recycling coordinator I've talked to in different cities, the number one problem is plastic bags. Plastic bags are really difficult to process through the materials recovery facility. Plastic bags can be recycled when they're taken back to the grocery store or to, you know, the retailer. There is a mechanism for recycling plastic bags. However, it's not at the curbside that plastic bags are to be recycled. And so plastic bags are real major problem. Other cities have had the same challenges because, again, it was the world market. And so different cities have responded differently. Some cities cut out their recycling program. It just stopped recycling, and that's not what we wanted to do as the City of Philadelphia. Some cities went back to dual and multi-stream recycling. I've seen that several cities have gone back to, you know, separating the paper and cardboard again from the metal and the plastics and the glass. Some cities took glass out of their streams. So different cities have responded differently. But those major cities like, you know, the New York's, LA, San Francisco, they're all still fully committed to recycling the same commodities that we always have. New York has separated the streams. San Francisco has separated the streams as well. Right now, the City of Philadelphia is committed to dual stream recycling. We feel like it's going to get us the most materials. We just have to get the right material.
Okay. If we don't recycle it, where is it going to go?
So what's going to happen is if we don't recycle it, it's going to go to a landfill or it's going to go to waste to energy. And let's look at the fact that, you know, in a landfill, a plastic bottle will remain for over 400 years. A plastic bag can remain up to 1,000 years. So that's space that we will never get back. And it's space that, you know, could certainly be used for other purposes. And what we also have to look at is, you know how when you, I've said this to a number of people, when you go away for the weekend and you forget to take out your trash and you walk in like on that Monday morning and it reeks, that smell, part of what you smell is methane gas, right? And that methane gas is a greenhouse gas that does erode the ozone layer in the Earth's atmosphere. Methane is produced by landfills just simply by decomposition. And so, again, we want to put the least amount into landfills so that we have the least amount of methane gases and greenhouse gases being produced. You know, we want to not send it to waste to energy either. There are pollutants that come off of waste to energy. There are certainly scrubbers and towers and mechanics in place to make those emissions within EPA standards, but they are emissions nonetheless. And so if we can recycle these materials and actually reuse them as opposed to putting them into a landfill or putting them into waste to energy, then that's really the best use. One of the reasons that a plastic bottle or, you know, a plastic container holds water is because it's made of mostly oil, right? There's a majority of oil that goes into making plastic products. And if we can extract less oil from the planet, then that's better for the planet. And it leaves that those oil reserves for the future generations to come.
When we are recycling and you've got a nice clean stream of usable product, you know, who's going to buy it? Where is it going to go now that the Chinese are not taking it?
There are some domestic markets coming online, which we're really encouraged about. You know, the idea of the circular economy is really picking up in that people are, again, companies are coming back online. Paper plants that had shut down previously are coming back online. People are finding ways to repurpose and reuse materials in, you know, in different ways than they had in the past. You've perhaps seen benches, park benches that are made out of recycled plastic, clothing that's made out of recycled plastic, shoes that's made out of recycled plastic. And then it's going to secondary markets. Malaysia was a secondary market for a while. There are secondary markets in India. And so there are other markets that are also taking the product. And, you know, provided that we clean up the world's recycling, I think that there are opportunities for other markets to emerge as well.
It's interesting that the global crisis created a local opportunity in the States. Mm-hmm. I can remember when I was a little kid, we would have paper drives.
Yep.
You would collect newspapers, go door to door, and store them and stock them, and then you would deliver them. And I haven't seen a paper recycler in years.
Right. And then we had the milkman, right? That bottle got reused. It got put back out once it was empty and cleaned and sterilized, and then it was brought back. And again, there are companies like that that are coming back online too, so that, you know, hopefully within the next 5 to 10 years, there'll be an aisle in the grocery store that will be like the refill aisle. It won't be that you come in and purchase something in a container. It would be that you bring your container, you know, you fill it up, and then you buy it, and then you bring the container back, and then the container gets sterilized and reused and sterilized so that it can be reused. And so there are markets like that that are emerging as well.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, the first thing in the line of defense in terms of sustainability is really reduction, source reduction. We have to use less materials. Manufacturers are looking at packaging materials with less waste. And we have to really, you know, when we go, I went into the store yesterday and I bought basically a snack bar, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the guy put it in a bag. And I said, no thanks, you know, you can take the bag, I'll just take the bar, right? But if we're not mindful of those things, you know, when we're rushing around, we take the bag, and then we use the bag for all of 2 minutes, right? And then we have to find somewhere to put this bag. And so if we can really look at source reduction and just using a lot less material to begin with, that will be really helpful for the waste stream as well.
If you're just joining us, this is Philadelphia Focus, and I'm Laura Lewis. With us today, Kyle Lewis. She is the Program Director for Recycling here in the city of Philadelphia. And if you'd like more information about anything that we are talking about today, you're going to go to PhiladelphiaStreets.com. PhiladelphiaStreets.com. Now, we've talked about a lot here, and you've kind of alluded to what you can and what you cannot recycle. But let's start in with that again. How do we recycle? If I'm a resident in the city of Philadelphia, how do I recycle? What's my first step? Getting those bins and all that.
So make sure you have a recycling container. It does not have to be a blue city-issued bin. It can be a bin that you buy at a store. It can be an old garbage can that you repurpose and make it a recycling bin and just write recycling on it somewhere big and bold. You can go to PhiladelphiaStreets.com or recyclingoffice@phila.gov to request a sticker, and we can actually send you a sticker that says recycling. So first, you make sure you have your recycling receptacle. And then, you know, when you're in your kitchen is generally where a lot of things are generated. Make sure that, again, you have a can of soup. You empty that can of soup. You rinse it out. Maybe let it dry. If you don't have the capacity at home to let it dry, we certainly understand that. And then it can go in the recycling bin. A couple of drops of water in a can, not harmful. We just don't want somebody to take half a bottle of water and, you know, put the top on and then stick it in the recycling bin. And so we want to make sure that anything that goes in the bin is clean, dry, or empty. And that the only materials that are going in the bin are plastic bottles and containers. If you're focused on the number of the plastic, if we're looking at the numbers of plastic that we accept, we're accepting 2, 1, and 5. And so that's easy, right? It's Philly, 2, 1, 5. And then we're accepting glass, we're accepting cardboard, we're accepting paper, We're accepting metal cans and we're accepting cartons in the recycling bin. And truthfully, that hasn't changed from what recycling has always been. Those items have always been recyclable and acceptable recycling, and they still are. And those are really the only items that we want in the bin. No toys, no hangers, no plastic bags, no paper towels, no napkins, no tissues, no styrofoam. We have to keep items like that out of the bin. No batteries.
So, and of course, the 215, that's found on anything recyclable, correct?
Mm-hmm. There's a kind of chasing arrow triangle mm-hmm. That represents recycling. And often on plastic products, there's a number in that chasing triangles. And the number on your average water bottle, your average clear water bottle is a number one. Your average, let's say, laundry container is a number two. A lot of number fives are things like yogurt cups, things like that.
Okay.
So those are the numbers that we're looking for. When we, again, we want to keep items like plastic bags out. We ask that people not bag their recyclables either, because what they're doing is making a bag of really expensive trash. I've had people say to me, well, you can just pick it out. Well, think about the fact that truck is going to go through the entire neighborhood, and they're going to pick up about 8 to 10 tons of material. We can't pick out material for individuals. It's just not feasible that we could sort it out. And so we need to make sure that the person who is doing the discarding is the person who takes the responsibility to make sure that the item is discarded properly.
What happens to it when it gets on that bin? Because since we had gone to the single stream, the plastic is in there with the paper, et cetera. So what happens to it after the truck drives away?
So the truck drives away and it takes it to a place called a materials recovery facility. That's MRF, and so we call it a MRF. And at the MRF, those items, they get dumped out of the truck, and the first thing they get put on is a conveyor belt that takes it into this big hopper kind of piece of equipment. And that hopper, it separates out the items with air and blowing and vacuums, with optical sorters, with magnets. It separates things based on mass, based on density, based on shape, and it separates those items out so that the paper comes out one end, the cardboard comes out another end, the plastic, the clear plastic comes out another end, the more dense plastic, like your laundry bottle, comes out another end, that the metal cans go out one end. But again, what happens is when there are contaminants, there is a stream for residuals, and that contamination gets put into that residual stream, which ends up being a big pile of trash, essentially. Mm-hmm. That was contaminating the recycling stream. Even though there are all of these sorting mechanisms at the materials recovery facility, the truth is that between the people and the mechanics, everything, all of the residual, all of the contamination cannot be sorted out. And so we need people to make sure that they're not putting those contaminants in the bin in the first place. So that's really where it goes when it leaves your curbside. There is a good video on YouTube that a lot of people have found interesting. If you Google Philadelphia MRF, waste management, there's a YouTube video that shows the exact process of the MRF, and it really gives people an enlightening view of how it works. And really what's one really important thing is that when we put things like plastic bags and hangers, things that do not belong in the recycling bin in, it tangles up the machinery at the MRF. And then what has to happen is that the whole system has to be shut down. And we all know when you have a plant shut down, there's money involved, right?
Yeah.
So the whole system has to be shut down. And then somebody has to put on a harness and climb into this hopper that has these kind of rotating blades that are no longer rotating, but they're still there. And they have to climb into a hopper with this harness on and pick these things out by hand. So, the plastic bags have to get untangled from the machinery, and any kind of cord or extension cord or Christmas lights that somebody, shouldn't have put in their recycling bin and they did, that gets tangled up in the machinery too. And so it's really dangerous for those workers at the MRF. When people put contaminated material, or when people contaminate the recycling stream with materials that don't belong there.
I'm going to admit something. If I was throwing away a broken plastic hanger, it would go in the recycler because it's hard plastic. Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of people who think hangers are recycling, you know, but no kind of plastic hanger or metal hanger is recycling. A lot of people think toys are recycling for the same reason, because it's a plastic or it's, you know, or it's a metal car or something like that. No kind of toys are recycling. A lot of people think wood is recycling.
Right. I just wrote that down because I was going to ask you. I wanted to ask about landscaping materials and some other things.
Right.
But so wood does not go in.
A lot of people think that wood goes in because it's a natural material. It does not. No kind of wood or construction debris should go into the recycling bin at all. People think that leaves go in the recycling bin sometimes. Leaves can be recycled at our convenience centers. However, they do not go in the recycling bin. No kind of yard waste should go in the recycling bin. No kind of wood, no kind of, you know, leaves or construction debris. Certainly no plastic bags, no toys.
Well, so okay.
Only those basic materials.
Just the basic stuff. The
yep.
cans, the glass, the plastic, the cardboard, the containers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, okay, so here I'm just going to throw one out at you.
I eat a lot of pasta.
And pasta boxes are cardboard, and they've got that crummy little non-215 plastic in the middle of them.
Uh-huh.
So I actually open up the pasta box, and I peel that thing off, and it goes in the trash, and then the box goes in the recycle. Is that as far as we need to go?
That is awesome. That's fantastic. And you don't even need to go that far, to be honest with you. What you can do with the pasta boxes or the envelopes that have the window.
There's another one.
They can go right in the recycling bin. That little bit of plastic is kind of that. The allowable standard for contamination right now is 0.5%. And that little bit of plastic is that 0.5%. So we don't want to make it so that people, you know, have to jump through 1,000 hoops to recycle. So things like your envelope that has the window on it or the pasta box can go right in.
What about, okay.
As long as it doesn't have any pasta in it.
Okay. So I'm having pasta sauce, and I've got it in a jar. I'd like to say I make mm-hmm. my own, but I don't. I buy a jar of it. And so when I'm done, I rinse out the jar, the glass jar.
Perfect.
And when it's dry, it goes into my
Perfect.
Recycler. But then the lid, I just rinse it off and throw it in the trash. Does the lid go in?
You can either, so there are different, you can put the lid in, and on the metal lids for the, like a spaghetti jar, you can certainly put that lid in. What a lot of people often ask about is water bottles or like a, you know, a soda bottle. Should that lid go in? What we like is that the bottle be empty and that the lid go on. Because in that Murph, in that tumbler machine, small particles fall out to the bottom and they contaminate the glass because the glass is the heaviest material, so that goes to the bottom. And so ideally, we'd like people to recycle a water bottle by putting the cap back on. But to be honest with you, what's most important is that water bottle is empty.
Be empty. And mm-hmm. squish it down, too, right?
You can squish it down,
squish it down. What about the paper wrapper on the bottle?
And again, that kind of goes to the 0.5% okay. allowable contamination. And so we're not asking people to, you know, dissect every piece of material that they're going to put into the recycling bin, because we understand that people don't always have the time or the capacity to do that, you know, shelf space, things like that, mm-hmm. right? We understand that they don't have that. But we would like to get those bulk items into the recycling bin in order to take them out of you know, landfill or out of waste to energy. We really want to divert as much as possible. We really believe that the goal of getting to zero waste by 2035 is feasible. And so we want to make sure that we do all that we can to get to that goal.
Now, really, we're running out of time, but now let's talk about some stuff that isn't, but they're major problems for all of us. Styrofoam. How mm-hmm. do we get rid of the styrofoam then?
Styrofoam, unfortunately, right now, what we have to do is throw it away. There's not really a huge market for it, mm-hmm. and we certainly don't have any styrofoam recyclers that are local enough that I could refer you to them.
So we can throw that into our trash.
Right. But what we are doing is the City of Philadelphia is building a resource finder that should hopefully come online toward the end of this year. where you can go online onto phila.gov and be able to plug in a material that you may have at home, and it would give you a location where you can take that material. So like a lot of people, let's say, you know, you move to your house and you buy 3 gallons of paint and you only really needed 1.5, right? So you have this paint that's left over, and the resource finder will be able to help you be able to get rid of that paint and give it to somebody else who's going to use it. And so it'll be things like that. And so when that comes online, we may have styrofoam recycling capacity in place.
Speaking of paint, obviously a full gallon of paint can go to the ReStore for Habitat mm-hmm. for Humanity.
Absolutely.
But what about that half-empty can of paint or the paints that have separated to a point where they can't be used at all? How do we get rid of paint?
So how we get rid of latex paint mm-hmm. is latex paint can actually just be thrown away. And what we ask people to do to discard of latex paint is to actually put that in a plastic bag so that when it gets into the hopper in the trash truck,
it doesn't open.
And that thing, yeah, and, you know, the hopper smashes it, that paint doesn't explode all over the place, that it's ideally contained in a plastic bag. But latex paint can be thrown away, you know, just by putting it in a plastic bag and discarding it. What we'd like people to do with acrylic paints and other types of paint.
Oils.
Is to take it to a hazardous waste event. We have hazardous household waste events that are listed on philadelphiastreets.com that come up throughout the summer, actually. In the 5-county region, there are several events that come up, household hazardous waste. And we all coordinate, the county coordinators in the 5-county region coordinate so that in the case of a household hazardous waste event, you can go out to Bucks County and recycle your hazardous waste, or you can go out to Montgomery County and recycle your hazardous waste at one of those events,
and
in Philadelphia as well.
Well, that goes with the anything with a cord, because a lot of people know that there are recyclable pieces inside mm-hmm. a computer or a TV, and mm-hmm. there's some base metals, or, you know, there are some things mm-hmm. that are desirable, but you can't recycle those at all.
No, what you can do with e-waste, electronic waste, is, again, you can bring that to our sanitation convenience centers. We have 6 sanitation convenience centers around the city. Those are also listed on philadelphiastreets.com. You can bring electronic waste there, TVs, computers, you know, cords, things like that. You can bring it to the sanitation convenience center, and we recycle that electronic waste through one of our vendors, but that has to be taken to the sanitation convenience center.
Finally, you mentioned leaves, but I know that the city of Philadelphia does take Christmas trees and leaves mm-hmm. and landscapes, and they grind mm-hmm. it.
Yep, during the season we do. We want to, again, you know, the city is trying to be as sustainable as we can and focused on recycling, and so during the fall, we do a fall leaf collection. And because those leaves are collected with nothing else but leaves, they're taken to the Fairmount Park Recycling Center and they are recycled into compost. And people can pick up compost throughout the year at the Fairmount Park Recycling Center. We do a tree collection also during the holiday season, but we must insist that those trees not have anything left on them. While all the presents are gone from underneath them, we also need the lights off and the tinsel off and the ornaments off in order to recycle them through the tree collection program.
So if we have a question, what do we do?
Go to philadelphiastreets.com/recycling, and that should give you all of the resources that you need for recycling. And if you have a specific question that you'd like to email us about, you can email us at recyclingoffice@phila.gov. That's recyclingoffice@phila.gov.
And, of course, for more information, go right there, philadelphiastreets.com/recycle, and you'll get all the information. And I'm going to go to YouTube and look up Philadelphia MRF, M-R-F, and watch something get recycled, because that sounds great.
It is interesting.
It is. So we've learned a lot today. Take those plastic bags back to the grocery. Check for 215 on the bottom of all the rest of the plastic. Put the caps back on the little bottles and clean mm-hmm. and wash our cans.
Yes. And only recycle those materials that are acceptable recyclable, please.
And again, philadelphiastreets.com/recycle to get more information about everything that we have talked about today. And my guest today has been Kyle Lewis, and she is the program director for recycling for the City of Philadelphia. I'm Laura Lewis, and this has been Philadelphia Focus.